Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting. Kick back, relax, and enjoy this week's show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Hashtag Finance Master show. As always, it's great to be here. It's great to serve you the latest trends in finance and accounting and engage with all of you, take your questions, checking in where you're coming from, and helping you understand where is finance heading in the future. Yesterday morning, European time, we released the blog post, How Finance Will Serve the Company in the Future, more specifically, 2035. That's because we are currently running the series called Finance 2035, trying to give our predictions around how the finance function will look like in 2035. Last week, we reviewed the overall intended operating model for finance, and today we will dig even deeper into the service delivery model. If you're not sure what a service delivery model is, don't worry, we've got you covered. So with that said, let's try to dig into it. So how could finance serve the company in the future? We can probably assume that some basic principles will still apply. One of these is that there is a finance function to serve a business. What the services are and how they are delivered, though, is constantly evolving. We have outlined three key components of the finance function in 2035. Finance operations, specialized finance, and business finance. We've also discussed how to split the work between AI and humans. Wherever we define the vision, think AI first to realize the people potential of your finance function. So in everything that we do, we should think AI first, and of course, that also means we need to think about what work AI should do and what humans should do. So check in on some of the previous shows there to catch up on that. Now we will look more closely at the finance function value chain and what service business leaders can expect to receive from finance in the future. First, let's outline a service delivery model and then get more specific about how it will look in the future. A service delivery model outlines how a function delivers its services. It's a bit like a business model, if you will, for your overall company. It specifies process characteristics and contact points with the business. So here's a quick overview of the most common dimensions, processes, and contact points. So for the process characteristics, we're looking at task complexity. We go from low to high. We're looking at task volume from low to high. And we're looking at the knowledge required. Is it rule-based or judgment-based? And of course, it's a scale, so there are something in between as well. On the contact points, we look at physical presence, no, yes. Business understanding, no, yes. Legal restrictions, no, yes. And language requirement, common or local. You're probably thinking about more criteria for both care process and contact point, but these are the most common ones. These dimensions provide a concrete framework for making specific choices about where and how a service should be delivered. We could also replace the scale options with a simple 1 to 10 score. Lower the score, the higher the potential for centralization and automation. The higher the score, the higher the need for services to be delivered locally by humans. Question for you, what principles or characteristics have you used to organize your finance function? So think about how have you actually organized your finance function and what principles have you used to do that? Based on the dimensions, we can actually start to detail the service delivery model. We can consider the specific elements of the model. There are, of course, variations of this, but a standard list will include the following. Global shared services. Some companies, they call it global business services, but same thing. This is where finance operations reside. And you have local or regional shared services, again, finance operations. Some companies, they organize for a bit more closeness or for time zones and so on. I can tell you, I used to work for Maersk and our service center was predominantly in Asia, mostly in India. And I feel for those sitting out there in India, had to serve, for instance, the US audience that was like in the middle of the night. Someone had to do it, how it was organized, but maybe it could have been in Costa Rica, for instance, where that's also a big service center industry. Anyway, then you have local services, which could be both finance operations and business finance. Then you have a center of excellence. This is where you have more specialized finance, business finance, where you need more expert capabilities. Corporate finance, where you have specialized finance around it. And then you have business partnering, which is predominantly business finance, but specialized finance could also do some business partnering. So let's consider the role and selection criteria for services delivered, each of these elements of the service delivery model. So if we look at the global shared services first, they support everyone else in finance and deals with all the transactional activities. Historically, this has been outsourced or offshored to reap the benefits of labor arbitrage and task centralization. As we have described, this will almost entirely be automated by 2035, or at least that's our prediction, which is bound to increase this quality and speed of delivery. Not that the people in service centers are not doing a good job today, it's just manual, transactional, and that's where automation really can help. The criteria for placing services in global shared services are high volume, documented and standard activities, service provided in common languages, say English or Spanish, for instance, and global activities. Looking at the criteria, it's clear that global shared services is ripe for AI, perhaps except where there are voice requirements and a real conversation is needed. Perhaps no EUT is possible, but this can be handled by AI in 2035. That's actually, it's already doing quite well, we have to say, and voice also. This means that these services can be performed from a company's headquarters, with process experts handling existing and new AI change requirements, as close to specialized finance as possible. Then we have local or regional shared services. This is unlike global shared services, with the criteria of placing services here being regulatory requirements and activities requiring more local presence. So it may take some changes to rules and regulations to replace these completely with AI. However, it's practically possible, so it should be envisioned. And similar with local services, right? It's of course a local element that drives these criteria. The finance function would have to make country-by-country plans for automation. Only those activities where rules and regulations almost forbid automation of specific services can a local human presence for finance operations be mandated. Of course, some of this could be business partnering as well, but we'll get back to that. Then we have Center of Excellence. The Center of Excellence is separated from Global Business Services because it supports specialized finance and business finance. Today, these are not well established in most companies, but many are in the process of building them. The idea is that they support the mentioned parts of finance, reporting, analytics, and insights. The Center of Excellence focuses on building expertise within the areas where they help the rest of the finance function. This means you need functional experts who leverage technology to deploy their insights across the organization. Criteria for placing services here are complex, high value added activities that require highly skilled employees and are predominantly global in nature, but can also be regional or even local. Naturally, AI figures to play a vital role in enabling these activities and perhaps be the primary driver by 2035. Then we have corporate. This essentially equals to specialized finance in our model, which we covered in depth last week. Their role is to set direction for the rest of the finance function and ideally the management team. This also requires deep functional expertise above the center of excellence. So while center of excellence definitely requires this, you have to take a notch or two up in the center of excellence. The criteria placing services here are like those of a center of excellence. Still, while the COE doesn't need business partnering skills to explain its expertise outside finance, this is a critical point for corporate functions. If you cannot deploy its insights to non-finance executives, its value addition will be limited. Finally, business partnering. This equals, of course, to business finance, which I've also covered in our latest article and show. Their role is to drive growth and increase profits with business leaders in the front line. They must be deployed to be aligned with where specific business decisions are made. Business partners must go beyond performance management and work where they can make a substantial value addition. So that kind of concludes our walkthrough of these parts, but I just had a kind of a bonus question for you here as well. Which of these parts of the finance function do you work in? If you don't work in finance, that's also fine. You can come in outside finance. But which of these parts of the finance function do you actually work in? And do you have a clear distinction for how do you actually place services in these teams? So let us know in the comments, where do you actually work in the finance function? And just to get a bit of feeling of the audience here, it's all about organizing for specific outcomes. It's about delivering value to the company. service delivery model aims to organize the finance function better outcomes. To fulfill this, in addition to deep dive above, it must be clear which outcomes the three parts of the finance function are organized for. Is it finance operations? They should be organized for efficiency. This is not where you want high salary costs and many people working, although this may be true for companies today. Finance operations will likely even be placed in the headquarters in the future, because if it's automated, it should be close to functional process experts, which you may as well have in the headquarters. Specialized finance should be organized for effectiveness and requires that you get the best possible functional experts in the market. They likely require a heavy compensation package, so resources need to be freed from finance operations to invest here. And finally, business finance. It should also be organized for effectiveness. However, this part of the organization should be considered a profit driver. If it cannot deliver more value than it costs, there's a problem. So it's critical to showcase the value created in business finance and have it recognized by the business leaders. Service delivery model lays a blueprint building the finance function in 2035. Most companies are already well underway. However, they still struggle with finance operations being too expensive, specialized finance not being able to deploy their functional expertise adequately, and business finance working more as glorified secretaries than profit-driving business partners. Still a long way to go, but the path is clear. Question for you. Do you think the path is clear to creating a finance function of 2035? Or are we still missing something? Something that's unclear. Of course, it's 10 years into the future, so of course, some things are bound to be unclear, but what would you keep there? Sean saying here he works in business services. Yep. That's definitely the interesting place to be. Lots of transformation happening there. And then we have Toya here asking, can you advise a finance professional transitioning into business analysis in the finance domain? So business analysis is in a center of excellence typically. Of course, it depends on how your company is organized. So it's all about insights. You have some data, you need to organize it, you need to analyze it, you need to structure it in some reporting, and you need to generate some insights from there. And insight generation is typically where the rubber meets the road. So you cannot do this alone, sitting in your cubicle, looking at your spreadsheet or BI tool or whatever you have. No, you need to go out and talk to people in the business. So if you see something, variances or trends and patterns, go talk to that part of the business to whom it's relevant for. Understand what's happening out there. Show them the data, ask them what they see. Hear that knowledge from the business, which is knowledge of the numbers, and then synthesize that information to management and let them know what's going on and bring suggestions of what to do about it. I think that's really key if you want to go into business analysis and you actually want to be a value-adding profit driver is what we're trying to drive people towards. So that's clearly the way to go there. Building a service delivery model for the future is not much different from building a service delivery model of today. Finance function is still the finance function. Services, to an large extent, still the services, even though the scope of a CFO may expand, it doesn't necessarily mean the scope of a finance function. So what's different is who's doing it and where is it being done. And you need to continuously evaluate this to stay relevant, to stay up to date, because technology develops all the time. Next week, we will deep dive into the technology that's going to enable the finance function of 2035. We'll look at what's available today, extrapolate that into the future. We'll look at emerging technologies, discuss how they could potentially be applied in the future. And then we will dare to dream a little bit and say what technology that we are only thinking about today, but not being available, could actually be available in 2030. Now, of course, it's mostly speculation, but it's interesting to consider how a finance function like that could work. With that, I think we will conclude today's show. Thanks to Jan saying very informative, and thanks Toya for asking a good question. I can see we've got another question here from Ashwan Wachi saying, can technology replace what chartered accountants and chartered public accountants do to some extent? Not 100%, but there's also an advisory element of those roles. Look at what you do today and what's transactional, automation will take that. The advisory part, you can better insights from technology using that, but it can replace you fully. So it's around evolving your skill set to remain relevant. Accountants are not dying in the future, at least not if we continue to evolve. And I know also to Iwata here from Poland. Thanks for adding those last bits and pieces there. I think we'll end it for today. Next week, we'll continue our deep dive into predicting the finance function of 2035. Catch the previous shows on your podcast or your YouTube and hashtag Finance Master channel there. And you can always find me on LinkedIn, of course, if you need anything else. So my name is Anders Lundberg, signing off for today, and see you hopefully again next week.
You've been listening to hashtag Finance Master. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting.